O darkness and cold, empty space, empty of promise, full of sorrow. Dark morning of the darker day, earth, stone, mud, rocks, sadness, no life, no life. Earth, stone, mineral, sediment, lava, heat, coolness, atmosphere. Vladimir Ivanovich Vernadsky, the Ukrainian mineralogist, theorized about 100 years ago that the Earth and the universe were themselves evolving, as were living things. The starting point for this evolution was the geosphere, the Earth as it cooled, and minerals were created as the atmosphere found the conditions for rain, and as water was being created. This cooling molten mass, this geosphere, contained everything that was on Earth, everything that there would be, save for the gifts of crashing meteors and smashing comets. The geosphere, the start of everything. It was Dr. Seuss who had described the next stage of the planet's evolution. Oh no, this is not the Cat in the Hat, Dr. Seuss, not the Green Eggs and Ham, not the Grinch. Edward Zeuss, the Austrian geologist, had proposed in 1875 that an interconnected web of life existed in parts of the Earth where life might exist. The biosphere, he called it in 1875, from the Greek word bios, life. Seuss posited that there were zones on the Earth where life could find its way, where the conditions of light and air and nourishment allowed for the earliest forms of life in the seas, and that life emerged from the sea to move to beach and pool, to field and forest, to valley and mountain. Zeus probably didn't imagine that the polar regions could sustain life, nor that James Cameron would have found such interesting evidence of life in his recent voyage to the depths of the Mariana Trench. But he thought where life could be, life would be, and he called that the biosphere. Vernadsky theorized that the explosion of life, which seemed to have arrived from nowhere, was instead the natural progression of evolution, that the possibility of life was inherent in the stuff of stars that had cooled to become our planet with its relationship to our sun. Life was not inevitable, but when life broke forth, it was within the geological dimension, breaking forth into the biological dimension. And when the conditions were right, life would and did break through. Philosopher Edouard Leroy and paleontologist Pierre Teilhard de Chardin attended lectures by Vernadsky at the Sorbonne in the years following the First World War, tossing ideas back and forth as scientists and philosophers might. They imagined a more recent emergent sphere of existence, the noosphere. Nous, in Greek, refers to the mind, comprising alike the faculties of perceiving and understanding, and those of feeling, judging, determining. It refers to intelligence and understanding, our capacity for reason, and some philosophers will say, the higher capacities of the soul, the ability to perceive divine things through distinguishing between good and evil. The noosphere is evident in the capacity of humans to imagine the entire web of life, the longer story of the cosmos, our ability to make choices as a species in solidarity with other species. Unitarian Universalist Connie Barlow and her liberal Christian husband, Michael Dowd, share the good news of evolution through their programs of the great story. Thank God for evolution.com shares their sense that evolution's purpose, inherent in the universe itself, is to create an intelligence large enough to look back at the universe and to tell the universe's own story. This noosphere, as theorized by Father Teilhard, is inherent in the biosphere. It does not come from something being added to the Earth's system, but rather emerges out of the biosphere when the conditions are right. And so thankfully for us, evolution has allowed that you and I might be here, and even now that we and many others may have found ways of being beyond subsistence so that we might pursue fire and metal, agriculture and water, industry and science. Evolution has allowed us to begin to tell the story of the universe even as we continue to be intrigued by the many things we do not know and ready to commit ourselves to knowing, exploring, learning them. Today's New York Times tells the story of ALMA, the array of radio telescopes being built in the Atacama Desert of Chile. When this billion-dollar project is completed later this year, 66 antennae will peer into regions of the universe where it is theorized the first stars were born. Scientists believe the Atacama Large Millimeter Submillimeter Array, ALMA, will make transformational leaps possible in our understanding of the universe, enabling the hunt for so-called gas tracers, the ashes of exploded stars from a time about a few hundred million years after the Big Bang, that astronomers call the cosmic dawn. Spanish philosopher Jesus Mostarun, who writes about the frontier between science and philosophy, and who visited the observatory last year, said that this construction is taking place at the only time in history that windows into the universe are being thrown wide open. Oh, dark space, clouds and gases, distant, lifeless, amorphous, obscure to our perceptions. Oh, tomb, cavern, cold and ancient place, lifeless, lies the body within you, and lost, lost, lost are our dreams. And then the stone is rolled away, and then new eyes we find and see that life is everywhere, everywhere breaking through. The futures exist within the pasts, within histories, within our stories, and the Earth's stories, and the stars' stories, and even God's. That great poem, even God's poetry, breaks through. Matter includes life, life includes mind, mind includes imagination, imagination includes God. Father Teilhard brings to his hypothesis about the motion of evolution a challenging notion, one toyed with by philosophers and science fiction writers and even an occasional Sunday morning preacher, that what drives evolution is the existence of an unseen omega point, a force, if you will, the force, if you will, that draws the universe toward increasing complexity and developed consciousness. For Teilhard, this omega point is indeed the Christ, not the Jesus who walked on this earth, not that Jesus alone, but the Christ which possessed him, the Christ which elevated him, and the Christ which claims us all. the omega point, he says, pre-exists the universe. It was before the universe was. It is personal, supremely personal. But it is also absolutely transcendent. The omega point is autonomous, subject to nothing but itself. But its hold on the universe, its tendency to draw the universe out, is irresistible and irreversible. Evolution advances. It does not retreat. Evolution yields an increasingly complicated creation, never a simple one. Evolution calls for greater intelligence, richer reason, fuller understanding, more perceptive judgment. The cosmic Christ of religion and the omega point of Teilhard's scientific conjecture offer, for a person of the Christian faith, the reconciliation of science and belief. Likewise, Father Teilhard offers the same omega point to call other religions into a shared understanding of the movement of the universe, the development of our species, the wonder of evolution, and the capacity to live in an increasingly diverse and supremely aware world. If indeed the natural progress of the world is about becoming increasingly diverse, then we might think of things that hinder that progress as out of line, as judged wrong, as even sinful. The mechanisms of our society that lead to the destruction of natural habitat need to be held in check if species are not to be lost. The overdevelopment of monocultural agriculture, the elimination of rainforests, the removal of indigenous people, all these seem contrary to the natural tendency toward more complexity. Likewise, the engineering of seeds seems to the loss of natural breeding, the imposition of one language norms like English only, and the thought that this is and always has been a Christian nation is contrary to fact, contrary to the public good, but contrary to evolution's call. This world is not made so that one size fits all, one religion fits all, one truth inspires all, one God, despite the declarations of our angel friends, the Carabiners that say, to the solo God, to the alone God. Despite those declarations, one God cannot be understood in only one way. God is too big to fit inside one religion, the bumper sticker says, and coexist the other demands, yes. The world we live in is increasingly diverse, increasingly complex, and the intelligence we need to live well and to prosper is to become increasingly aware. It may be that the cogent symbol for our future was embodied this year in over 1,000 camps around the world. Occupy Wall Street, they challenged, and Occupy Baltimore and Washington and Sao Paulo and Paris and Moscow and Johannesburg and Sydney and Mumbai, they did. A diverse movement of people asking for greater consciousness for themselves and for the whole human race, and alternative ways of thinking, alternative ways of being, recapturing agency in the public square and refusing to be the unconscious pawns of a system. Increasingly diverse, increasingly conscious. Those faithful women came to a place, a dead end, came to do what was required of them, to honor the body, to wash it, to wrap it in spice, and to see it buried. Alone they came, but alone they did not stay. Something broke through. Some say it was a man, some say it was like a man, like a person, breaking through and telling them what they could not believe. It was not the end. It was something terrific,
and something terrible.
The body is not here because the one you loved is raised. Now go and tell others. Go and tell others. The story says that they were indeed afraid. So very afraid that they could tell no one. They could tell no one.
And yet they must have told someone, right? I mean, they must have told someone because you and I have heard the story. You and I have shared that poetry. What you loved and what you lost remains. What was taken from you has found its way back. Back into your geosphere of your bones, back into the biosphere of your blood, back into your noosphere, your heart and mind and spirit. It calls you now, as it called them then, to welcome this complex world, to seek a more complete understanding of things, and to go and tell others. To go and tell others. Happy Easter, beloved. Let that which is lost for us be found. And let us tell the world. Hallelujah.